You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of March 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to have a look again at the sex education that is being taught in schools, and we're going to look at this for various reasons. Remember, this was first brought in Scotland last year. It was then brought in Wales at the end of last year, and there were protests against it, and there was a judicial review, and the judicial review found that it was in line with the law, basically, that the government has set. Then it started being introduced in the Isle of Man, and in the Isle of Man, they have now stopped teaching it in the midst of a big investigation into what is being taught to the children. And in Ireland, they're now moving into teaching this in the schools as well. And I'm bringing it up today because, again, it's causing problems in Wales. And there's been a big expose of this last week when it was brought to the attention of the government. And Rishi Sunak has now ordered an investigation into it. So we'll begin with what's being said in Wales. Young children can be mixed berry gender fluid muffins, a government document has instructed teachers in Wales. So this is coming from the government telling children that there isn't just two genders, there's multiple genders, and gender is fluidity. And they're basically saying that gender is just a social construct. Gender is based on biology. There are males and there are females. And depending on the individual, there are different degrees of maleness, different degrees of femaleness. We all have the potential to be a little bit masculine or a little bit feminine. That does not mean there are any more than two genders. And they say gender is a social construct, but it is based upon biological reality. Women are smaller than men. They have less body strength than men. When they are pregnant, they cannot fend for themselves and they have to be protected. And they are the ones that raise the children. And this is what we see mainly in nature. There are some animals where the male looks after the children, but not mammals. And obviously not humans. And the male will look after the children, perhaps because the female is bigger or for other reasons. I mean, with creatures like spiders, the male is smaller than the female. And with birds, the male is smaller than the female. But even with birds, it's the female bird that sits upon the eggs, and it's the male bird that goes off to find the food for them once the birds have been hatched. With human beings, it's the mother that has to look after the baby because it's the mother that produces the milk. So these are the reasons where these gender so-called constructs have actually come from. They come from biological reality, and people can have a feminine side and they can have a masculine side, but it doesn't mean that their gender changes. And then we have gender dysphoria, where we have people that have a dysphoria because they believe that they are the wrong gender for the body that they have, which is obviously something completely different and must be an awful situation to be put in. And is that really something you want to be teaching children about? They've gone far, far further than telling children that there are transgenders. They're now saying that children can be mixed berry gender fluid muffins. A 170-page agenda document detailing how sex education should be taught in Wales, and remember this comes from the government, reportedly instructs teachers that children as young as 7 can be mixed berry gender fluid muffins. Well, when they're 7 years old, they're both masculine and feminine. They haven't been through adolescence. The boys will not be interested in the girls in the way that young males would be interested in young females. And they will be each playing with each other's toys. I mean, I can remember being a child and I used to really like comics, and my sister would have girls' comics and I would look at those comics, not because I was a female trapped in a male body, but because I just liked comics. And we'll see the same thing with little girls maybe liking to play with the boys' toys just because they're more interesting than the dolls, for instance. But it doesn't mean they're gender fluid. It just means that they're young children. And of course, the sex of a person cannot immediately become apparent before adolescence has gone through and the secondary sexual characteristics have appeared. So essentially, children are asexual, basically, even though they may be male or female. But the idea that they're gender fluid and that can come into this at the age of 7 years old is deliberately introducing adult concepts into this, which cannot possibly have any meaning in a child. It is the latest evidence of militant transgenderism being taught in British schools, with government officials in both the UK and neighbouring Ireland becoming increasingly keen to see gender ideology taught as fact to young children. And of course, there are some politicians that are speaking up against this, but it does seem as if the vast majority are supporting it, particularly when you look at the SNP recently with their transgenderism bill that they have been brought in. When you look at the Welsh government that are bringing this in, yes, Rishi Sunak has called for an investigation into this. We'll get into that in a bit, but that's not really looking into whether it is age appropriate. It's looking at whether it conforms to the legal instruction. According to a report by The Telegraph, the sex education pamphlet produced by Cardiff University academics in partnership with the Welsh government tells the country's teachers that there are many different genders, something that is not biological fact. There are only two genders, two sexes. I guess what they're trying to do is they're trying to separate gender from sex, but all you really get is different degrees of masculinity or different degrees of femininity in somebody that is either one sex or the other. And it doesn't change their gender. For instance, you may have homosexuals that may be a little bit more effeminate, for instance. So it doesn't mean that they are a different gender. It just means that they're a little bit more effeminate. The document furthermore encourages teachers to play the Mixed Muffin Gender Berry Challenge with children, a game which involves teaching children that you cannot assume someone's gender by how they look. But then you run the risk of offending somebody by thinking that they are a different gender. And if people are deliberately trying to make it difficult to tell what gender they are, then they're obviously trying to just create problems, aren't they? They're trying to make it so that when people try to be polite and refer to them by the gender that they are, they run the risk of offending them. So then you get children who don't want to offend somebody, who will get all confused in their mind over what they should say and how they should be addressing someone. And you also have these problems that we have with English. Once you start saying people should be referred to as they and them or ze, that brings all sorts of grammatical problems for people who have English as a second language. Involving various batches of berry muffins, the aim of the game is to show students what it feels like to be given a gender that you might not choose. So they're saying this is fact. People, girls are being born into boys' bodies, boys are being born into girls' bodies, and it's all just a matter of the doctor assigning you a gender at birth, which is obvious biological scientific falsehood, but they're literally telling children that this is the way that things are, that you could be given a gender that you might not choose, as if you have any choice in the matter. They're effectively saying children can choose what gender they want to be. And I think transgenders say it's not a matter of choice. It's the fact that they are born in the wrong body. They certainly believe that. They don't believe that it is a choice. But what they're saying here is that people are choosing it. So this really sort of goes against what transgenders say anyway, and will just introduce confusion into these children where there wasn't any before. Another game detailed in the pamphlet reportedly asks kids to decide which sex-switching or gender-bending worlds you want to explore, which reportedly aims to crack open rigid gender binaries. Literally, they are wanting to crack open the child's skull and introduce confusion about gender, about what gender they are. I mean, how else can you interpret crack open rigid gender binaries? I mean, perhaps they don't literally want to crack open the skull, but they are certainly wanting children to think that there is a fluidity between gender and that it is possible for males to be born within female bodies. And then by saying decide which sex switching or gender bending worlds you want to explore, it's encouraging them to explore what it's like to be the opposite gender. It's like they are trying to encourage the children to become gender dysphoric and to become confused about what actual gender they are. And this is the issue. It's encouraging this gender dysphoria rather than making people more inclusive of it, I think. Commenting on the document, the Welsh Conservative Party's Shadow Education Minister, Laura Ann Jones, described the sex education material being created by the country's government as highly inappropriate and not based on biological fact. Well, is she not a part of that government? Obviously, she's not the party that is in power. She's in the opposition, but surely she should be having an effect on this. Surely she'll be having an effect on what the government are actually doing within Wales. Of course, it's highly inappropriate. Yes, it's not based on biological fact. But why haven't they stopped this? Why haven't the Conservative Party stopped this? That they've been in power in the United Kingdom, based in Westminster, and it's their pronouncements on inclusion and equality legislation that has led to the Wales government introducing this in the first place. And it's the same in Scotland. It's been introduced in Scotland. And as we'll see here, it's also being promoted in England. Whether it be sex education or self-identification, this Labour government in Wales is determined to push gender ideology against the wishes of the Welsh public, she said. Well, that is true, but it's also the United Kingdom government, isn't it? I mean, Theresa May was wanting to have self-identification. Don't forget, this ruling that the Scottish National Party brought in Scotland about people being able to just change their gender at will. It was Theresa May and the Conservative Party that first wanted to do that, and Boris Johnson just put a pause on it. So the Scottish National Party are just a little bit more advanced than the Conservative Party in Westminster. Wales is not the only part of Britain where such militantly pro-transgenderism material is being taught to children, with UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak last week being forced to announce a review of sex education across the country amidst revelations in a report produced last week showing that pupils were being taught there are up to 100 different genders, obviously not based upon biological fact. Children as young as 12 are also said to have been taught about things such as anal sex, oral sex, and masturbation while in sex education classes, while some have reportedly been told that the concept of virginity is merely a social construct. Well, what is a hymen then? Is that a social construct? Of course, what they're saying here, that they're not just teaching them about various different forms of sex, they're instructing them on how to carry out the different forms of sex. They're literally telling children as young as 12 how to engage in anal sex and saying that you're less likely to get pregnant that way. So they're pretty much encouraging children to have anal sex rather than vaginal sex. And they're teaching these youngsters about masturbation and all these sorts of things. And of course, they're coming home and they're asking their parents about it and scandalising their parents at what their children have been taught in school. In a statement, the Prime Minister stated that he was writing to the Department of Education, asking them to ensure that schools are not teaching inappropriate or contested content in relationships, sex, and health education. Our priority should always be the safety and well-being of children, and schools should also make curriculum content and materials available to parents, he said, adding that the consultation process for the review will start as soon as possible. Well, let's look at the wording there. I mean, he's saying, is it inappropriate? Well, it's the government that has said that schools have to be inclusive, and because of equality, because homosexuals, transgenders, all these different identities are equal, and it should just be that they're equal under the law, but they're saying because they're equal, they need to be treated equally in society. Therefore, because you have, say, in the maths lesson, the question will be about a family or, and how many children they have or whatever, that family would have to be two males and the children would have to be transgender so that they can insert these different sexualities, different genders into all these other lessons. So it's the government that have said we need to be doing this. It's the equality law that they have which is being used to do this. And of course, so if you look at it in that way, then it's not inappropriate. It's what they've been instructed to do. And then they say contested content. And of course, people will accuse you of being a transphobe or being homophobic because you are contesting the idea that gender is a social construct. And we've even seen people that have been arrested for saying that gender is not a social construct and it is not possible for men to change into biological women. And we've seen people arrested for that and accused of non-crime hate incidents. And in some cases, we've seen people accused of inciting hate for saying these things. So they will say, well, it's not contested content. It's because if you contest it, you're going to be breaking the law in some way because you're going to be challenging they will say it, that you're saying that transgenders don't exist. Of course, they do exist, but it's based upon gender dysphoria, and which is not something we should be encouraging. I mean, as I pointed out yesterday, they're still not looking at what is the reason for why there has been this huge increase in transgenders. And there's also been a huge increase in people identifying as homosexual as well, particularly in America. I think it was something like 30% of youngsters between the age of 12 and 20 don't identify as heterosexual. Doesn't say what they do identify as, but they don't identify as heterosexual, which is a huge increase from what it is in the boomer generation, for instance. It's 1 or 2% of the population that identifies as homosexual. So you've seen a huge increase in the percentage of people that identify as that, as we have seen this huge increase in the number of children with gender dysphoria. And it's all come about at the same time as all of this promotion of homosexuality and transgenderism under the guise of promoting inclusivity. This is the issue. So many problems that we have are started out with good intentions, but the way that they actually find their expression ends up causing problems. And of course, they have that old adage, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, let's have a closer look at what this report was that got Rishi Sunak to ask for an investigation. What is going on in relationships and sex education lessons in schools? This week, MPs have raised the alarm about the volume of messages they are receiving from concerned parents who say they don't know where else to turn. And it is almost as if this has just suddenly happened, and it hasn't. It's been gradually happening over the years. We've been covering this here at Radio Albion. All the alternative media has been covering it. Nationalists have been talking about it, and now it's finally getting into the mainstream, and it's good to see that these parents are taking an interest in this and are trying to put a stop to it. Conservative MP Miriam Cates has presented Prime Minister Rishi Sunak with a dossier of evidence on the nature and extent of indoctrination in relationships and sex education in UK classrooms. It includes an abundance of case studies of sex education materials devised for teachers, which state that gender is fluid as a fact, or include teaching that many parents consider age appropriate. In some schools, children as young as 12 have been asked in lessons what they feel about oral and anal sex. And of course, if they say, well, I'm quite disgusted by the mechanics of this that you've just told me about, then they were accused of being homophobic. There'll be a report on their record if they say that they're disgusted by the idea of anal sex. My 13-year-old was taught that there are 100 genders, says one mother at an independent school in the East Midlands. At that age, my children have been taught accepted terminology, so-called accepted terminology, such as cisgender, non-binary, and gender fluid, with no suggestion that many people would find these terms and this ideology contrary to their beliefs, religious or otherwise. So that's another side of this. This is all being taught to these children as fact, and it's, I guess you could say, it's cutting edge left wing activist ideology, but it's certainly not fact. Another mother of a child at a London state school says her child was taught about masturbation in their last year of primary school by teachers that she barely knew. This is the other side of it. People that you don't even know are talking about these sexual issues with children, graphic sexual issues with children. And there doesn't seem to be any concern about safeguarding here. She became concerned after teachers told parents that during RSE lessons, what happens in the room stays in the room. So the teachers are literally telling the children not to tell their parents. She said, I have a teaching background. And I said, that is what pedophiles say. And this is it. This is why it is like a safeguarding issue. Pedophiles obviously don't want the children to be talking about what's been done to them. And obviously they will be talking to the children to get them to think that it's a normal, that's a normal situation. And this is what the teachers are doing. They are normalizing that situation where children are thinking it's normal to not tell your parents about a sexual issue that an adult has been telling you about. They continue saying there was this whole discussion. They had cards on the table discussing whatever was on the card. And one of them said masturbation. Lots of parents were saying, you might frighten my child by talking about this because they are 10. Who wants their child sitting with another person's son or daughter discussing this? This is the other issue. There's been a huge increase in young children abusing other young children, talking 7, 8, 9-year-olds abusing other 7, 8, 9-year-olds, sexually abusing one another. And this is tied in with this as well. Of course, they're saying that that's being caused by young children accessing pornography. And that may be an element to it, but there's also this element that they're teaching children here how to do these things and to normalize them and to make it seem normal and to say to them, which do you prefer, anal sex or oral sex? Asking a 10-year-old. Mrs. Cates is among MPs calling for an urgent inquiry into sex education in schools. For the last year and a half, I've been working on this and it is becoming more and more clear how inappropriate these materials are. Mrs. Cates told The Telegraph. The new Social Covenant Unit, a think tank Mrs. Cates co-founded in 2022, is preparing to publish the study presented to Mr. Sunak, which states that the nation's children are being put at risk by teachers with a radical ideological position on sex, gender, and sexuality who are monopolising the RSE sector in the UK. So she's saying there that they're being put at risk, and it's these teachers that have this radical ideology. Where did the teachers get the radical ideology from? Well, they do point out here that it's coming from these activist groups that are then being brought in as experts. But it is also promoted at the universities that these teachers go to get their instruction. We know that if you're of a conservative mind or if you're right wing, you'd better not speak up at university because you'll be ostracized. You'll be told that you're invading other people's safe spaces. People are just too frightened to say that they're right wing in universities now, that they're so left wing. And all these ideas get indoctrinated into the teachers there and then they come out in the lessons. That's part of it. But of course, the other side of it, which I've also brought up before, is these activists are looked on as experts. And when you get a head teacher, doesn't know the ins and outs of this, but just knows that they're supposed to teach it, they're advised to seek an expert's advice. And they'll go to an organization such as Mermaids, which promotes transgenderism among children under the guise of being inclusive with trans children. Or you get an organisation like Stonewall, which promotes the idea that there can be all these different genders. So you have activists that are being put in the place of experts, because if an expert says anything negative about it, they'll be accused of homophobia or transphobia. The proliferation of contentious and sexually explicit teaching content can be traced back to 2019, when the Department for Education published new statutory guidance on RSE. I would say that it can go back much further than that, because we've been talking about these problems with this for a long time now. I can remember when they first brought sex education in, and they said the reason why we're bringing this in is to lower the number of teen pregnancies. And the number of teen pregnancies shot through the roof, basically, when they started teaching the details of this to children. And you've got the same thing now. You've got the numbers of children thinking they're homosexual, or children thinking that they're transgender. The numbers are going through the roof. Damien Hines, then Education Secretary, wrote in the foreword to the guidance that the department's guiding principles have been that all of the compulsory subject content must be age appropriate and developmentally appropriate. And of course, the way they get around that, they say, well, children are accessing pornography at a young age. They're accessing it at 7, 8, 9 years old. They're coming across it online. Therefore, it is age appropriate for us to tell them how to do these things properly and give them the mechanics of it. That's the excuse that they use for teaching children about anal sex. And then they'll also have the bit, well, and also anal sex is the way that homosexuals, male homosexuals, have sexual intercourse. And because they are equal members of society, we need to be teaching that as equally and as valid as vaginal sexual intercourse. So these are the reasons why they bring this up. This is why I fear that this investigation is just going to say, well, it is age appropriate. However, the boundaries it set, this is this new instruction in 2019, were more vague than the government's earlier guidance dating back to 2000, which had stated that the promotion of sexual orientation or sexual activity would be inappropriate teaching. So that was back there in 2000, but they still changed the guidance and said that they needed to be teaching homosexuality as an equal way to be as heterosexuality. They had this Section 28 guidance before that, which was basically that schools should not be promoting homosexuality to children. Because there was the risk that it was going to increase children thinking that they were homosexual. And of course, that is what's happened. And they would say now, well, by saying that you fear it's going to increase, you are implying there that it is something negative, therefore you're being homophobic and you're not promoting equality. So you can see how all of this really comes from this guidance and this accepting of homosexuality as being equal to heterosexuality. And this is what we end up with: children being taught things which are not appropriate. And when you go to who you should go to about these sorts of things, you go to the government or you go to the law, they look at it and they say, well, it just goes back to this equality guidance and it's within the law. So there's nothing we can do about it. The new guidance also specified that gender identity should be taught in an age-appropriate and inclusive way. So it's not saying there that the differences between boys and girls should be taught in an age-appropriate and inclusive way. It's saying the ideology of transgenderism should be taught. And the ideology of transgenderism is that boys can be born in girls' bodies and vice versa, and you have gender fluidity and all these other things that lead people to thinking that there are over 100 genders. That's what gender identity is. How can you teach that to children in an age-appropriate, inclusive way without also introducing confusion about gender to them by saying that there are 100 different genders? Mark Lehane, a former teacher and Department of Education special advisor, says the new document was a masterclass in consensus building, but it gave schools a minimum requirement of what to teach without giving teachers a ceiling to it. Schools also found that there were limited teaching resources available. So they said what the minimum was, they had to do above that, but they didn't say what the maximum was. And here where it says schools found there were limited teaching resources available, here's where this report then says what we've been saying here at Radio Albion for a long time. This has created an opening for activist groups to fill the gap. Organisations including Stonewall, the LGBTQ plus charity, began working with hundreds of schools on how to map out an LGBT inclusive approach to RSE. the new Social Covenant Unit report highlights other RSE resource providers, including the School of Sexuality Education, which is understood to have worked with more than 300 schools and states that it has a sex-positive approach, both in the classroom and in general. Well, what does that mean? Well, white positive means being an activist for white people. Body positive means that you're saying that being overweight is great and it's just as good as not being overweight. So what they say here, a sex positive approach, it means that they, all the different forms of sex that people discover as an adult, they're going to teach them as being positive and being good to children. So they're literally saying to children, anal sex is good. That's what it means, that they have a sex positive approach. The charity itself's workshop facilitators include Dr. Emma Chan, who on a personal blog has published a video of herself singing a song called Let's All Masturbate, followed by a link to an article that advises readers how to do so. And remember, this is being taught to the children. It may be her blog, but the children, when they go home after being taught this stuff, they're going to look up her blog, aren't they? Nadia Dean, a workshop facilitator for the School of Sexuality Education, uses the charity to advertise her own sex education website, which includes articles on anal fun and frolics and the problem with heteronormativity. So defining being heterosexual a problem. There's all this encouragement to the children to experiment in homosexuality. I've brought up mermaids and Stonewall before, and what they're bringing up here is something that seems even worse than Stonewall and mermaids. This new Social Covenant Unit and the School of Sexuality Education, a book used by teachers in schools that the charity promotes on its website, Great Relationships and Sex Education, advises teachers to emphasise that love and affection are often important parts of good sex. Well, how about fidelity, which is what you want, and just one partner, which is ideal for if you're going to have children, which is the main reason for having sex, is to have children and also to make the two partners closer together. That's the reason for it. But of course, that's not what they're going to tell the children here. They've said love and affection is an important part of good sex, but not always. For others, good sex is quick, rough, and anonymous. You can explore the fact that some people enjoy feeling pain during sex, which is often referred to as kink or BDSM. Remember, this is for children that are being taught here. Anonymous sex is good to have, and you might enjoy pain, which it says you can explore that fact, telling them to explore bondage and sadomasochism. When a chief executive of a multi-academy trust was presented with such evidence, she defended the organisation and said that she had agreed not to share the lesson plan with parents, the think tank found. So she thought it was okay to teach the stuff because she's not going to tell the parents about it. A spokesperson for the School of Sexuality Education said, "We find the politicisation of relationships and sex education very concerning and will continue to provide high-quality, inclusive, age-appropriate RSE in line with the government guidance and young people's rights." Well, they're the ones that are promoting this. So it's a bit strange. They say, oh, we're concerned about the politicisation. They're the ones that are promoting it. The agendas of external groups appear to have influenced teaching materials prepared by teachers and local authorities. An RSE education programme drawn up for schools by Swindon Borough Council last year includes a demonstration of dams, the first I've ever heard of them, or flavoured latex to prevent the spread of STIs during oral sex, and promotes masturbation as a way of expressing themselves sexually. And remember, this is all about this inclusion, saying that homosexuals, we need to be inclusive to them. And they're basically saying that we need the children to express themselves sexually. You're a child that's being told to express themselves sexually. And this all comes from this drive to include everybody. Case studies to be used as a discussion point for year 11 pupils, that's aged between 15 and 16, include a situation where a boy wants to take his relationship to the, quote, next level by creating a video of him and his partner having sex. So suggesting that's quite normal, making your own pornography. I don't know what it tells you what to do with that pornography next. Perhaps in a few years' time, they'll be encouraging them to send it to Pornhub. Another popular RSE resource provider includes Pop and Ollie, a company which provides LGBT plus educational resources to primary schools. That's children between the ages of 4 and 10, I think. Its book, What Does LGBT Plus Mean?, which is designed for 9-year-olds and older, explores identity, assigned sex, gender, love, sexuality, discrimination, privilege, allyship, pride, and more. So it goes into details of what homosexuality means, along with promoting this idea that you're only the gender that you are because the doctor said when you were born that's the gender that you are. I mean, that's what it means here by exploring assigned sex, telling 9-year-olds this. I mean, how can this not introduce confusion into a 9-year-old's mind? Nick Fletcher, the Conservative MP for the Don Valley, warned the Prime Minister in the House of Commons that schools are spending money on materials by organisations that are educating our boys and girls that they may not have been born in the right body or that they have an inner gender identity. He is contacted every week by concerned parents who are at a loss with it, he told The Telegraph. I just really don't think that primary school children and secondary school children should be exposed to this kind of ideology at that tender age. Schools are stuck between activists and the guidance, which is exactly what we've been saying here, says Mr. Lehane. Ofsted made it quite clear that if you weren't covering the minimum, then that would have an impact on the school's Ofsted report. But no school has been hammered for going too far because there is no ceiling. Mrs. Cates says that schools have been put in an extremely difficult position. She points out that the Department of Education guidance on political impartiality, published last year, said that schools had to balance their legal duty not to politically indoctrinate children with the Equality Act. But the equality duty requires schools to be activists in the classroom, and that does not fit with anti-indoctrination law, she says. Most head teachers probably don't understand the law, which makes it very difficult for them to make a decision. That is why it has to come from the government. This very important thing she says there, this equality duty requires schools to be activists. This is where this drive comes from, to be inclusive, to make everybody equal. That means that these teachers have to teach these ideas that there are 100 different genders and it's possible for somebody to be born into the wrong body because we're told, well, everybody has to be equal under the law, which should just mean everybody gets equal treatment under the law if they've committed a crime. But they've extended that to meaning that anybody that has a different sexuality has to be taught, no matter how small a minority they are, they have to get exactly the amount of time and it has to be taught in a positive way, just the same as any other sexuality and any other idea. That's what it basically comes from. I mean, there's so much here. I don't think we're going to have time to get through all of it, but I do recommend people read it, and I will put it on the website. It gives all the details, or the highlights, basically, of what was told to the government. And bear in mind, it was because of this that Rishi Sunak has now called for an investigation. It's the same thing that's been paused in the Isle of Man. It's going on in Wales. They haven't paused it in Wales. And in Ireland, they're really keen to push it. That's what the Irish government are saying. So I guess it's good news that parents have got together and drawn attention to this, and they've managed to get an investigation into it. And I am encouraged by that, and we'll just have to see what Rishi Sunak's investigation turns up and what these guidelines are that they arrive at. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.